Hello, this is Knut from the future. I have a message for you. In the midst of the episode, Chris's track will get a tiny audio quality problem. We sincerely apologize for this and promise that it will never happen again. Now, enjoy the program. It's 2017. We have... the technical equipment is so far advanced that making a podcast is dead simple, right?
Sure, this is totally not the fourth time you've called me. Can you hear me?
5x5.
Outstanding.
Right. So.
Hi.
Hi. Another week.
Another week. How is the weather in Bergen?
It's... actually, not that bad.
I don't know what that means. Is that like it's pouring rain?
It pretty much means that it doesn't rain, we think. It may come any second.
How do you distinguish it's not that bad, not raining, from it's beautiful sunshine and not raining?
The problem is there's always the possibility of rain. So the weather, the climate is like an abusive, let's say, partner. You never know what is to come.
But you keep hoping that one day they'll change.
Exactly. So what about that Super Bowl?
Well, I heard there was an owl, and it was superb. I have no idea. I have no idea what happened. I have been off-grid.
You've been off-grid?
That's not true.
You didn't watch the game? That was tonight. At night.
Oh, like... nah. I was asleep. You?
Well, I had like 1,000 unread Twitter messages when I woke up.
This is the problem with following people in the US on Twitter.
I think like the car brand Audi, right? They sub-added Trump. If you may say,
like a subtweet,
also Coke. Yeah, it was pretty much a fuck you to the Trump administration.
Okay, right after this call, I'm getting online and finding out what just happened.
Also, Lady Gaga. She did it live.
Like nice.
Sang. Yeah.
Can you lip sync a subtweet?
I'm sure. That is actually my next Slow TV project.
Lip sync subtweets. Mm. That's hard to say.
So you have been off the grid.
I feel like a fraud when I say that. My phone was on. I had the internet. I wasn't really off the grid. I was far away from quote-unquote civilization, though.
Yeah, telling from the live Slack channel, you were pretty much far away from any kind of civilization.
We made our own. What was your impression from the live Slacking channel of the weekend?
Apparently, you were on a company trip, and they were bathing and drinking, and also some snow, and something that seemed like a hytta.
All of these things did indeed happen over the weekend.
And I know you made a promise to your colleagues that what happened in Hafjell, except for the things that was documented on the live Slack, stays in Hafjell.
Well, I mean, they didn't make me sign anything.
No NDA?
No NDA.
Ah, it's a free fall then.
I think the promise was heavily implicit. That said, if you go into the company sports team channel, you can probably find more details. So shall I talk a little bit about the weekend?
Yeah. Is there anything to talk about? Have you made any small differences, cultural observations?
I can run through a few, I guess. So, brief background, company weekend away, not everybody went, but there were about 30 of us that went to a small hut, a couple hours drive from Oslo, and at a ski resort. So it's, I guess, exactly as people would imagine, right? It's this huge building made out of logs. And the engineering of this building, by the way, is something, it's like a whole thing. Like, this thing is made very, very precisely of logs slotted together. And if there is sort of secret insulation happening in there where you can't see, it's very, very well hidden. The supremely well put together building. Very warm inside, though I think that's as much due to, like, very good heating as anything else. Underfloor heating. Stone floors with underfloor heating. Oh, my God. Amazing. It had a hot tub. We broke the record for how many people we could get in the hot tub. I'm pleased to say I was there at the time. It was 11 people. If you've seen the pictures in the Slack Canal, you will know that it's not the world's largest hot tub.
Is that hygienic?
Let's not dwell on that. there was a sauna or a bastu. Also went in there. It was very nice. Possible highlight of that experience was agreeing with some of my colleagues that after getting increasingly warm in there, we would go out and roll in the snow. So we went out and rolled in the snow, because that's what you do.
So now at least 50% of small differences has some ground for comparison when it comes to Bastu and Scandinavia. So how did the Norwegian Bastu experience compare to Finland?
Well, almost everyone had their clothes on. Let me correct myself there, which is fine. I don't mind. I'm easy. But the default was clothes on. I think people were more cavalier about throwing more water on I don't know what that bit is called. The stove. What is it called?
Sure.
That. Yeah.
There certainly are some technical, traditional term for that thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is. Yeah.
The thing with the hot stones, right?
Right, right, yeah. Mm. I think people were more aggressive about putting more water on that.
It's a Pinochet influence.
Right. Taking, like, I feel a bit like Pinochet right now, actually. I feel like I have been well and truly kicked through.
I guess the beer-infused Pinochet?
Well, we were drinking some of my boss's homebrew cider, so, well, I tried it. We weren't drinking it the whole time, but it was pretty good, actually.
Actually.
I mean, taking a whole step back from this, like, none of my previous employers have sent me away for a weekend. And I thought this was like a huge difference. Like, occasionally employers sort of in the UK, I mean, I'm sure this happens sometimes, but occasionally employers in the UK will send people away for like a day or two. We talked about team building last time, right? About experiencing kind of pain and awkwardness together and hopefully being better colleagues as a result or something. I don't think any of us felt the need to do that. I think we're pretty comfortable with each other. But like the idea that you would spend a weekend away with colleagues is a really rare thing in the UK. And I wondered, it made me wonder, is it rare here in Norway? Like, is it unusual for a company to do that?
Well, I don't think it's unusual, actually. It just reminded me that there's a concept. And I'm not sure if it's exclusively Norwegian, but we have something called, this doesn't translate well, but in Norwegian it's called blåtur, which would be blue trip in English.
Blue like what?
Yeah, exactly. And the concept in Norway is that... none of the employees, except for those who planned it, knows where the trip goes.
Whoa.
So it's like a surprise. And it's usually an overnighter, and it's usually just social.
Okay. Wow. And that's a thing that many companies do?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. I don't think I could say the same in the UK. It's hard to say, like, I was in academia for, like, 10 years, and that's a whole other thing. Like, no one is going to pay for that in academia. So I missed out, I guess, on a lot of quote-unquote typical UK workplace experiences.
Yeah, and I think in academia you travel anyway.
Right. That's
to all sort of conferences all over. So yeah, if you work in a typical office or something, I guess the possibilities for traveling isn't that apparent.
Right.
Present. So yeah. Hmm. Do you think our employers will get any return on investment?
I hope so. I don't get the impression they did this cynically. Like, I don't think it was one of those things where they're like, oh, you know what, people just aren't getting along. We have to force them into a hot tub until they like each other or kill each other. But no, it's until one of them has the conch or whatever. No, it's I hope so. It was really nice to hang out with colleagues in a sort of non-work environment, sometimes extremely closely. And it's nice to see people kind of unwind a little bit.
And because we talked about this, that there is this stereotype that in order to get to know Norwegians, you have to sort of enter the in the right social settings or something like that. Did you get that? But my impression is that our colleagues is pretty open. They are pretty open at the outset. So
yeah, I don't think they're hard. I don't think they're difficult people to hang out with. Like, the feeling wasn't any different really than on a Friday afternoon when we kind of have a beer and talk about, you know, like watch someone talk about what they've been doing in the company. I guess there was maybe more beer and it was a later night, plus, you know, bonus hot tub and sauna. So and snowboarding.
Yeah, obviously. Snow.
Yeah, snow. Oh, I love snow.
I was curious as well, did any of our colleagues work? Like sneak off to do some work whilst you were there?
I couldn't comment on anyone else, I'm not going to lie. I spent a little bit of time trying to write my talk for Stormcast.
Hmm. Were there any sort of unuttered agreement that work shouldn't happen?
I think there was at least one person who kind of, they were like, I hope you're not working, because I was sitting with my laptop. I hope you're not working. Mumbled. not really. It was not the norm, shall we say.
Hmm. Right. Yeah, so... No scandals, no embarrassing looks at the bus trip home, no shame?
No. Well, that said, like, I went to bed earlier than other people, so I couldn't comment, but nothing that was shocking to me, either as a British person or as a... like, the hardest thing probably for me was that... Now we're going down this whole thing about being an introvert, which we, you know, have both, I think, agreed, like, not to go into in major detail, but, like, it's just hard to spend a weekend around lots of people. But they made it as easy as they could, I think, to be fair.
Hmm.
If you were going to spend a weekend with people, you know, that you could, it would be hard to find nicer people.
I guess this is the small difference between our company and other companies, because I think shame should be an obligatory thing after a company trip.
I don't think anyone is ashamed of anything that happened.
It seems so.
Quite the opposite, in fact. I think it's probably all over Instagram.
Yeah, I know what our cover art is now. And you know it too. So
I do. Get right. Signed consent, please. It would be ethically irresponsible of me to not say that.
Is this an ethic podcast?
It could be.
but watching the company trip from Remove, it sort of reminded me about the times that we went to school trips when I was younger.
Right. Tell me about those.
Did you have school trips?
Yeah.
Like overnighters?
Yeah, sometimes.
I must admit, I thought of it just before we started recording, but and I guess I have to do some regression now. Trigger warning. But well, I think we went almost every year on sort of overnighter, at least in barneskolen.
And when you say we, do you mean just your class? Do you mean the whole school?
No, just my class. Fun fact, when I attended, what is the term for sort of the school from 6 to 12 in the UK, or 7? Primary school, right?
Primary school, 5 to 11 usually. We start earlier.
What was my point? I lost it.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, a fun fact about my primary school class. We were 9 pupils.
Oh.
That was a small class. And when I went into secondary school, I think we were perhaps 30.
Was that a big shock?
Yeah. And one of the first things that happened when we was merged into the other classes come secondary school, that we went to a hyttetur.
With all of these other new people?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Stressful.
Really? How come?
Not to yet again embark on the introvert thing, but well, it's not. It hasn't. Can you speak of personality types when you are 13? Isn't it a huge mess? Anyways,
I'm sure it's a huge mess. Regardless.
Yeah, but. So. I guess this is pretty universal, but when you're 13 and just new people and stuff, you worry about being liked, to fit in, and so on and so
sure,
on.
Sure, that totally stops after you're 13.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Did you worry about being liked?
I always worry about being liked.
But you have some kind of sort of basis, like, you know who you are pretty much, right, when you are a grown up.
The older you get, the easier that gets. I don't think it's ever completely solved. I think there are very few people in the world who are so secure in who they are in themselves that they've stopped worrying about it entirely.
Of course, it's always relative, but when you're 13, I don't think there's just a tiny slither of self-assurance.
It's, yeah, it's a nightmare. It's a jungle. Yeah. It is just, yeah, it's brutal.
So it didn't go all Lord of the Flies, but I think it wasn't that far from it.
Well, this is what I wonder about now is, given that, like, you go to a hyttetur, right? So this isn't like you're going to some kind of, I'll give you the example that that I can remember from being maybe like 10 or 11, primary school. I think that's right. Or maybe I was 12. Like, it was either just the last years of primary school or like the first years of high school, right? And we did that kind of thing. But instead of going to a hytte, we went to a place that was kind of this big, it was almost like a kind of disused army base or something, but it was like it was there specifically for kids. I'm giving the wrong impression with army base, but you know, it was like this big kind of complex and it had lots of buildings and they had these kind of long dormitories with bunk beds and stuff. And you got in the bunk bed and you were like, oh man, because they'd put like a plastic sheet underneath the real sheet, like in case you got nervous and wet yourself. So that was a bit kind of like, for God's sake, man, we're, you know, like we're 12 or whatever, like, please. Simultaneously, like, we were in no way grown up. What was my point?
So far, I learned that you were sent to a compound.
Yeah.
Did you do any specific training there or...?
Oh, not that time. Later in high school, I had the good fortune to go on several. So here, in the UK, it's called outdoor education, or at least when I went to school, it's called outdoor education. And the education authority where I grew up, like the area where I grew up, were actually really good about sending kids out of the city and to somewhere. So we would go and we would like stay in this sort of house that would be in the middle of nowhere. It would be like a big house, but you would get to go kayaking and you'd get to kind of try orienteering or walking up a waterfall, you know, like while harnessed to a thing or whatever, lots of stuff like that. It was very not Lord of the Flies, that bit, I should say. I think that the younger we were, the more Lord of the Flies it was.
So on these kind of trips, I think it is always revealed how much your parents are used to the outside life, right? Because there are always kids sent to these trips without the proper clothing, and those who are sent with the very proper clothing for outside activities, right?
Which one were you?
I'm a raised scout, always prepared.
Very good. Did you get parents sending their kids with like jeans and stuff, like kind
yeah.
of outdoor inappropriate?
And perhaps in so much we could talk about class in Norway. I don't think it's proper, class proper, but there's some kind of distinction there.
There's like a Gore-Tex class system, isn't there, basically?
Yeah.
Actually, I should say this. The period that we're talking about, right, is like it predates the invention of kind of contemporary material science, which, by the way, is an amazing thing. Like the gear that you can get, the technical gear that you can buy now is phenomenal. I don't know about when you were a kid, though. Like when I was a kid, you had a cagoule, like a waterproof coat, and it was not fucking waterproof. It was like... it would tolerate being rained on for about an hour and then you would start to know about it.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but you're of course completely right. Today's gear is amazing and lightweight.
Right, and actually waterproof.
What an amazing age we live in.
We do.
We got fascism on the one hand and amazing outdoor gear on the other.
Right. It's almost hard to believe.
And the last item could be useful when we have to go out to the woods in the resistance force.
Right. About that, I feel like I want to jump into my cultural pick super early, but hear me out. We went to try to watch Lillehammer. You can't get season one of Lillehammer in Norway right now. You can get seasons 2 and 3, but that's no damn good to me. So instead,
that's a national tragedy.
It is a national tragedy. I'm going to write to my my representative in the Stortinget. Yeah.
You could get the DVD.
Oh, like
like a laser disc,
like an actual yeah. physical piece of media.
Yeah, I don't know where you could put it, but
I'll tell you where you can put it.
But yeah, you had to find some kind of replacement.
Right, I had to find yeah. a replacement. And so instead we cracked open Occupied.
Hmm. Is it good?
Based on episode one, yeah, actually. It was only in Norwegian and we couldn't get the Norwegian subtitles to work. So I think my husband was kind of hamstrung by that a little bit. But I followed most of it. It's extremely well made, as far as I can tell, without wanting to... spoilers! Without wanting to do too much spoilery stuff, it is a kind of near future scenario in which Norway has committed itself to entirely turning off the kind of fossil fuel industry for itself anyway. And this does not go over so well with nations who are more dependent on fossil fuels, and stuff happens, TLDR.
Hmm.
With no hilarious consequences, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. This will be interesting, your venture into Norwegian TV drama, because not to spoil it for you, but Norwegian TV drama has somewhat of a bad reputation in Norway.
Why is that?
Because most of our actors are trained in the theater. Which doesn't translate
no.
well.
Really?
Yeah, diction.
Gosh.
So they doesn't really translate well to the modern TV drama style, I guess.
Right, you just in a nutshell summed up my problem with David Tennant.
Who?
See what you did there. Very good.
Actually, I loved David Tennant in... But that was before the other guy, Matthew Smith.
Right.
And actually, I find the present Doctor Who pretty tolerable as well.
I don't know who that is anymore.
I should know the name, but he... played in the movie In the Loop, which may again be pretty relevant, I guess. Peter Capaldi.
Boom, I do know who you mean.
Yeah.
Yep.
He grew on me. I was a bit skeptical at first, but he grew on me.
I think he's a good actor. I'm not sure I can say the same about David Tennant. But sorry, Doctor everyone
Who,
listening.
But Doctor Who, that's... in its nature, pretty theatrical.
Yeah, but then if you watch, like, Jessica Jones, you've got David Tennant basically doing the same thing, which is, like, lots of mugging. Like, I'm not sure I've ever seen him act in a way that wasn't that. And I'm not sure that's acting. I think that's mugging.
He's an actor. Right. Let's slowly back off. The David Tennant rabbit hole.
Right. We were talking about Norway as like a place where, right, to rewind, we went straight from Lord of the Flies to Okkupiat, and then from there to... Yeah, my point with that actually was that Norway, like without knowing what's going to happen in the rest of the season of that show, Norway strikes me as a place that like might be quite good to be, maybe, in the inevitable outbreak of the zombie apocalypse, right? Like, you've got lots of country, so lots of places where you can go and kind of be far away from humanity. You've got a nation of people who are basically, I guess, better than average at being sort of self-sufficient, like the whole kind of hunting, shooting, fishing culture, and who know how to be outdoors.
Well, you would think so, but I know some people in the era of 1347 to 50s or something like that would disagree with you.
Why is that?
Because I think almost the whole of the Norwegian population were hit by the Black Death. And then we were fewer...
But nowadays, we have much better technical clothing.
That's right. Well, I guess you have the sort of the bathtub distribution access again. At that time, they pretty much wore wool. And that's the best clothing.
Yeah, my colleague on the Hittitur had wool mittens. In this era of, like, everyone, including me, having, like, super engineered technical mittens, which I painstakingly waxed the leather bits off before we went away for the weekend, and there's this guy in a pair of literally knitted mittens. And I said, do you have anything on underneath those? And he was like, nope, it's just wool. I like to feel the air in my hands, he said.
Because wool stays warm even if it's wet.
Right, ask any sheep. Mm. Mm. You'll get the same answer there.
That depends if it's Norwegian sheep or Scottish sheep, I guess.
What noise do Norwegian sheep make?
Bah.
Okay, that's a short noise. See, in the UK it's bah. Much longer.
And we got the vowels.
We need to talk about this word.
Ba?
Vowels.
Vowels. Vowels.
Vowels.
Vowels.
You're just doing this to wind me up now.
The wool vowels. The wool vowels.
Vowels.
That's going in the After Dark session, I guess, yeah. So, already at the cultural pick, I think you have to mention the other one. You get two this time, because I have a propos of that.
Okay. So, did you watch this, first of all, before I start talking about it?
Yeah.
This is one of the best things I've seen on the internet in quite some time. So, we'll put a link to this in the show notes. This is a video of people at a swimming pool trying to jump off a 10-meter. It's not even a board. It's just one of those kind of fixed tower things that you can jump into the diving pool from. And it is one of the most human things that I've seen in my life. It's just this kind of series of kind of edited together clips of people trying to get their shit together and jump off this tower. And it is awesome. All humanity is there, basically, in one 10-minute video, maybe. And it is just beautiful. It's the only word that I can use is human, right? Minuscule. It's just profoundly human to watch. It's terrific. You have to watch it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, give up, I don't know, like, the 10 minutes that you would spend flicking through Twitter or whatever, or, like, looking at your Facebook feed. Just stop that right there. Go and look at this video.
It also took me right back to school.
Oh, the swimming pool.
Yeah, and it wasn't the 10-meter, but the 5-meter.
Now, I would say that 5 meters is quite a height, even if you're an adult. So when you're a kid, tell us about the 5-meter board, Knut.
I think I was... I think the first time I did that was when I was 12. But that was in, I guess, because we started swimming lessons pretty early. And we did it in school, actually. Mm-hmm. So the class took the bus to the swimming, like the swimming center. And we had swimming lessons and so on. I think it was twice a month or something.
That's good, because then you can save on having a bath for the rest of the month.
and the pressure to do the 5 meter, I think it was there from the outset, actually.
Who was the pressure from?
From your peers, of course.
How old were you?
I think I'm lying if I say 7. I don't think any of us did it when we were 7, but 9 or 10, perhaps.
So not even teenage peer pressure. This is like just 8-year-old kids or something just going, go off the board, go off the board.
Well, yeah. It wasn't as much of a get off the board pressure, but sort of the cool kids did it. And you want to aspire to be a cool kid, right?
You weren't a cool kid?
So no. Not at all. I was a huge nerd. But I remember, because I went up there a couple of times, and the negotiation and the going down again.
Oh, the walk of shame.
The worst feeling ever.
Yeah.
But to do it, finally.
Did you?
Yeah. I think when I was 12 or something. That was an awesome feeling.
Did you get the appropriate kudos from your classmates?
I don't think so.
That time had passed.
Yeah.
And did you jump or did you dive or what did you do?
I think I jumped.
That's not bad. 5 meters feels like a long way.
Yeah. And what's funny is that, well, I jumped and I don't think I think I landed on my feet, right? But I don't know if you know this, but I think a couple of years ago, of course, in Norway, we invented a new sport, a new diving sport.
I don't think I do know this.
Or non-diving sport. I think you should go into YouTube, even though we are recording, and I will send you the link in Slack. And we invented a non-diving sport called dutsing, or deathing in English.
Deathing.
And this is something that, well, it's perhaps not hard to describe, but it's more telling if you actually watch how it's how it goes down.
Okay, I have video.
But
it... Oh my god!
Links in the show notes, and where can people find the show notes if they are so inclined, Chris?
That is brutal. Oh, man. This is like just unashamed belly flopping. Oh. Okay, you can find a link to this video, and I urge you to like take some kind of painkillers before watching this at smalldifferences.fireside.fm, where we also have lots of other things, including things like Words of the Week. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and this is actually a thing that people do, like on purpose.
Yeah. I think it's organized even. I think they have championships. And there are some kind of obscure style marking or something like that. But yeah, that thing.
Wow.
It's sort of, I wanted to become a diver, but I just gave up.
Right, halfway through, just thought, you know what, I'm in midair, but this isn't really for me.
And I embraced it, yeah.
Wow, this reminds me of being in Copenhagen. So a thing that we've not talked about because it's been the wrong time of year is Scandinavia's delight in bathing outdoors, right? And where I live, there is an outdoor bathing bit. It's got like steps into the water. It's got bits where you can just kind of haul out and flop on the side and sunbathe or whatever. It's got a little diving board and things like this. But a couple of years ago, I went to Copenhagen on holiday, and they have a setup a bit like that there in the harbour. And by the way, the harbour in Copenhagen is really cold. It's way colder than the water here, even though it's further south. That is a cold ass piece of water. And they have this diving setup, right? So you can go up, you can kind of jump just off the side, and there's a series of kind of big wooden steps. They've built this thing that almost looks like half a ship. Or you can go up a little bit further, and you can jump like a meter, which is fine. Or you can go up a little bit further, and you can jump about 2 meters, which is harder, but okay. And then you can go to the top, which is 5 meters, which looks like a long way. The way that this sort of bathing area is composed is everyone basically sits around the edges and they watch people jumping into the water. This is the source of entertainment and it's awesome. And again, you get this same kind of theatre of people who, like, they want to go for it, but the 5 metre one, but they're just not sure. And they're going to go for it. Oh, no, they're not going to go for it. And the suspense of this and the theatre of this is just amazing to watch. And the bit that I remember and the bit that the clip that you've just linked to reminds me of is this big, bald, fat guy with this huge kind of beer belly who just kind of went up there really, really self-assured and then just kind of threw himself off. And, like, you were wondering, like, he didn't even raise his hands, right? Like, there's no attempt to dive here, really. He just kind of entered the water. And I would say that about one-third of the impact was taken by his bald head. and the remaining two-thirds by his belly. And the noise was phenomenal. It was just this kind of... And everyone around the sides of the pool just went... in complete unison. It was amazing.
And with that, let's dive into the word of the week.
Nice segue.
I have nothing to follow up on that. Just the mental picture is enough.
Tell me about your word of the week.
I have actually not chosen a word, or I guess I have, but not. I'm not sure of the pronunciation of this word, because it's not Norwegian, because that isn't what I have chosen. But the word is gilme, perhaps, or gilmet, gilmet.
What is it? What does it mean?
This is the Norwegian quotation mark.
Okay.
For all your orthographic nerds out there. Because in English, you use the two fingers in the air quotation marks, right?
Right.
You don't use them in Norwegian. Well, many people do, but I am doing it wrong.
Right.
So this is the so-called angle quotes.
Right. This is like the double chevron, right? The two yeah. kind of little pointy greater than, less than things that sit together. Which I think the French and maybe the Spanish also use. I'm not sure.
I think perhaps the French use them. And the Danish, actually. But they are using them sort of inverse from us. It's a thing. Yeah. So that is my word of the week. The Norwegian quotation marks.
Was there anything in particular that made you think of that?
Just that I'm constantly annoyed that people don't use them.
What do they use? Oh, they use the kind of, the like the UK or the US ones, the kind of traditional 66.99 or worse, dumb quotes. I know that you love dumb quotes.
Yeah, but this is also a thing, because you have proper quotation marks, right? Or the sort of the curved quotation marks. And then you have the mark for, I guess, inches.
Right.
They're completely straight.
Right.
And this is probably a thing from the typewriter era. But, man, let's not do this. I guess I asked for it when I sort of picked this. Yeah, but yeah.
Don't start a land war in Asia, right?
Right. I guess I would go against myself and sort of, if you are not from Norway, you should go ahead and try them.
Well, a lot of the software that I use actually, so it's a bit weird. There seems to be some variation. Depends which software app I'm using, right? Like sometimes when I'm typing, like in messages on the Mac, it just automatically puts these in. Tell me how to pronounce it.
This is also a bit curious, but yeah, in Norwegian, the proper name, I guess, would be Anførselstegn.
Anførselstegn. Anførselstegn.
But I think we call them also gåseføtter.
Goose feet?
Yeah.
That's great. So sometimes I get them automatically, like in the messages app, and sometimes it doesn't. Like I think Slack doesn't default to that.
I think it depends on the language settings.
Yeah, my OS level stuff is all set to Norwegian, but maybe the app level stuff needs tweaking. I don't know. I'll fix that. I'm sorry, I didn't realize it offended you. I'll try and do harder. I'll try and do better. You've just reminded me of a thing. Slight sidebar. So one of my colleagues, one of the clients that I work at, one of my colleagues there came to me and asked me this week, whereabouts in the US are you from? And I said, actually, I'm British. I'm Scottish, in fact. And she was like, oh, I was so sure you were American. It's something about the way that you say "arr," you know, that kind of sound. And I got back to the office and I asked a couple of colleagues and they're like, no, we don't think you sound American, in Norwegian. So obviously all my contact with this colleague has been in Norwegian, and they thought I had an American accent. And it made me think that, like, what we should do is you should give me a sentence and I should try and pronounce it in Norwegian in different accents. And then I want to hear you do it. Can you think up a sentence?
Think of a sentence?
No pressure. But this is like live internet radio.
Yeah.
One that I can pronounce.
This is like the password instructions. It should be 8 words.
Right. Contain at least one exclamation mark.
Jeg var på hyttetur I helga.
Jeg var på hyttetur I helga. Okay, that's just me. Right, that's me speaking Norwegian like I would speak Norwegian. And then I started thinking, right, what if I did it like a really Scottish person? Jeg var på hyttetur I helga.
That's pretty different.
Yeah.
But the last one, does that sound Scottish?
It's like, to me, it's like a Scottish person trying to speak Norwegian if they couldn't, they weren't used to making the sounds. Jeg var på hyttetur I helga. And then I thought, what about a British, what about like an English person who was really posh? Yeah. Jeg var på hyttetur I helga. But then I thought, can I even do an American? Because Jeg var på hyttetur I helga.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah? Does that actually... Right, I want to hear you do the American one at the very least.
It's so hard. So American, it's more like... Jeg var på hyttetur I helga. This just reminded me... When I was young, there was this TV children's program. And it was like a puppet program, and it had a character called Mr. Nelson.
Okay.
And he talked like American Norwegian.
On purpose?
Yeah, that was sort of the character. I guess we could have an episode just on Norwegians doing sort of abroad Norwegian accents. Because I also just recalled that we have a rather famous character called Skotten.
Okay.
By this rather famous Norwegian comic called Trond-Viggo Torgersen. So I guess homework for you is to check out Skotten and also Mr. Nelson on YouTube, and give us the feedback. Which reminds me, you don't get off so easily, Chris. Have you listened to Kygo?
I have.
On the after ski party?
Actually, not knowingly, I did not go to the after ski. It was a bridge too far for me. I was very happy in the hot tub and then in the sauna. Thank you very much. I did listen. I went to Spotify and I sort of cranked out a few of the popular tracks. And then it came up again. I was listening to Strøm Vasenius again, and they were talking about it briefly. And the context was someone who'd been out really late on a school night, I think, and had ended up drinking quite a lot and having kind of allsang with other people. And they were singing Kygo. And... I think the general context was like, this is the kind of music that you wouldn't really listen to during the daytime or while sober. But it's kind of, it's entirely appropriate. We've been drinking and we're all having a good time kind of music. And I think that's spot on. That nails it for me as a genre, actually, having listened to a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's very much about having a good time.
With as few brain cells as possible, at least by the end of the evening. Actually, that takes me very nicely onto my word of the week. That idea of being nighttime. Yeah. So listening to Strøm Vasenius. But what are you laughing at?
Because you just made me aware of the sort of the connotations of that word that I haven't really thought about. But yeah, go on.
Okay. My word of the week came from Strøm Vasenius again, which is this, apologies to non-Norwegian listeners or non-speakers of Norwegian. This is a radio program in Norwegian. And they were talking about, there's an episode about nighttime. One of them in particular, I think, struggles with insomnia. So they have quite a lot to say about it. But one of the phrases that came out was "bare menneske," or "be person," "be human," as in the letter B. And they were talking about being a night owl, but I had to look it up to check. "Bare menneske" is a night owl, and yes, there exists "ar menneske," which is a lark, someone who likes mornings.
Early bird.
Early bird, exactly. To persist the ornithological metaphor. Yeah, and I'm fascinated by this, like the whole, the value, and they talk a little bit about this in the show, like the implicit value judgment, right? In being like an ah person or a bear person. They talk about, like, now the word I want is undervurdert. They talk about the fact that people who are night people are kind of judged implicitly or explicitly. You know, they're not very good in the mornings, and it's kind of seen as this lesser way to be, even though they spend a bit of time talking about how, oh, but people who kind of break that traditional kind of up early and to bed early mold are like often more intelligent and so on. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's actual data to support that. But I thought it was like the night owl and kind of being a lark and being a night owl. If there's any judgment in those in the English language, it's much less explicit.
Yeah, this is a bit complex, I guess, because, well, yeah, earlier, I guess, when you woke up to go to the factory and be a part of the production line and stuff like that, the pressure on being the almansk or to be up bright and early were pretty much there. But now there's some kind of inverse thing going on, because as you said, being a bee person or a night owl is associated with being creative and intelligent and sitting up all night writing on your essays and a novel and stuff like that. So it got this creative flair around it. And if you are a person, oh, you are so early. You must be a prude and a nerd. And I'm not a nerd, perhaps, but you are proper. Yeah, square, boring, right?
Right.
And, well, do you think we are boring, Chris?
Well, as two people who've elected to get up very early to record in the morning because we were just useless in the evening.
Almost so early that we are sort of traversing back to being bee persons, all
right? Right, we're just high-fiving them on the way out of the room. Later, dude. So, good night.
We get an hour with the bee persons. But yeah, regarding my initiatory sort of taking a back-ism, bee person, that's almost sounds like Untermensch, right?
Right.
You got these two classes of people, the A persons and the B persons.
Right. When I was listening to it first, I started talking about bare menneske and ar menneske, and I thought for a moment that they were talking about like type A and type B, like the kind of, you know, type A is your sort of like full on kind of, yeah, I'm going to get what's mine, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
What is that even called? I can't think. And type B, who are just kind of taking it a little bit easier, you know, and a little bit less high blood pressure.
I don't think the Myers-Briggs covers that distinction.
I don't care what they cover.
I learned this week that from like 8 Facebook likes, I can sort of pin your personality down because big data.
I can't tell whether this is seriously a thing that you actually went away and spent time thinking about, or whether you were mocking the idea of personality types. Either is fine.
Everything. I will link to the article. I guess most of you have already read it. But
This one. I've got it racked up to read.
Kosinski. Cambridge Analytics.
Right.
We have to talk about the Myers-Briggs ocean thing.
I think it's apparently very popular with our colleagues. I think maybe less so with us.
I guess that is two different things, ocean and Myers-Briggs, but yeah.
What's ocean? Is that this extra one that was going around this week?
That's Big Five.
Yeah, I need to bone up on this. I haven't studied the Big Five since, like, I was in university, so my version of psychology is a very different version of psychology than that.
Is this the psychology podcast?
How are you feeling? You want to talk to me about your mother?
Do you have a survey I can fill out?
It's not a survey, it's a questionnaire. Oh, questionnaire.
I guess.
Amateurs. You humanities people.
I need more items, please.
Yeah, well, then you're going to have to get more participants. That's how that goes.
Right. We have already mentioned the website. We should give a shout out to our... What do we call our listeners? Do we have a name for them?
Small differentiators? Bit wordy.
The small diffs?
Small diffies?
The diffs? The diffis? Diffis?
That sounds wrong. That sounds like they're deficient. Possibly vitamin deficient, nothing else.
We should get some post-it notes and have a sort of a brainstorming.
Right. Can you say that anymore?
Brainstorming or post-it notes?
Either, actually.
I guess we have to edit it afterwards. Another week, another program, another small differences episode. You have a meeting to attend to.
Yeah, I've got 5 minutes. We were trying to wrap up in a more kind of gradual way, but it just all fell apart.
Well, such is life.
Indeed.
And such is podcasting.
Right. I think we've come back very well from at least 3 technical false starts this morning.
Yeah, and I hope this recording will stick together.
Yeah, me too. We had a point.
We had a point?
Vi har mistet das.
We had a point. The point went to a school trip and was and the point's self assurement was wasted in the dive
and smacked its belly on the surface of caffeine and 2 people who ostensibly are good at this time of the morning but have fragmented over time. I feel I may have peaked, I guess, for the day.
I guess next time we have to prepare.
Sure. I mean, if that's what you want, fine.
Mondays always comes early.
Yeah.
I think next time, just a teaser, just a cliffhanger for all you still listening.
2 people.
Next week, we will address saying yes, breathing in.
We should totally do that.
Yep. Ha det bra. Takk for at du hørte på.
Ha det bra.